All right, take your Bibles now and turn to Revelation chapter 2. And today we're going to talk to you on the subject, the doctrine of backsliding. Now, I'm not going to yell at you this morning. I'm not hardly even going to raise my voice. But there is a question today that we have to face and ask ourselves, and that is this. Are we backsliding? Are you backsliding? Now we're going to find out this morning. Revelation chapter 2, look with me if you will, verses 1 through 7. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now today we're going to look at the church of Ephesus and see in it a picture of our own church, if we will but take a very close look. There are many here today who say they love the Lord, but are not very willing to get into the traces and do the needed work. While we do not necessarily question your salvation, we do question your affection for God. So today we're going to look at our church and see in it, see the church of Ephesus in it, and we'll see our weaknesses and hindrances if we're willing to take time to examine ourselves. Now I want everyone here today to do the same thing. Number one, I want you to listen. Your boys and girls don't have to go to the bathroom. Don't you let them unless it's an emergency. They're getting right back in that old habit again, and you parents are allowing it. They get up and walk in and out. You think sometimes it's Grand Central Station. Now, we have a 5-minute time between Sunday school and church when it's plenty of time for the kids to go to the bathroom. When they go to school, they don't get up and walk out of their classroom and go to the bathroom whenever they feel like it. They're not going to do it here anymore either. This is too important an hour to be disturbed. And I want everybody to listen like you never listened before. Then, I want everybody here to do some inside examination. Some of you right here, you have your pitchfork Christians. This is what you do. You take it and you just pitch it over your shoulder to the person behind you, and you say it doesn't apply to you. Well, everything that I'm going to say this morning applies to everybody here. Nobody's accepted. And you'll do one of two things. You'll either listen and praise the Lord and be glad that we get our toes stepped on, or you'll walk out of here with resentment and rejection. There will be a reaction. And whatever you do, you're going to give an account unto the Lord God of heaven. Our lesson this morning has to do with the doctrine of backsliding. First of all, we're going to look at the meaning of the term backsliding. Now, what in the world does it mean? All right, take your Bibles now. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. Keep your finger on Revelation 2. We're coming right back to it. In Proverbs chapter 14, and we find in verse 14, the Lord God of heaven speaks here about backsliding. This doctrine is found all through the Scriptures. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 14, look at it. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Now notice that. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways. Now let that soak in for a minute. We're going to look at the meaning of the term backslider. The word backslider in the Hebrew means this, to draw back. It also means one who departs from God in the heart. Now let us soak in. You don't necessarily have to go out into the world to be a backslider. You can be a backslider here in heart and be in every service of this church. A backslider is one who departs from God in the heart. Now turn, if you will, to Hosea chapter 4. And you look with me, if you will. Verses 16 and 17. The book of Hosea chapter 4 and verses 16 and 17. Listen to it. For Israel slideth back as a backsliding heifer. Now the Lord will feed them as a lamb in a large place. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. The second meaning in the Hebrew of backsliding is this. It's to act like a refractory, untrackable heifer that turns backwards or sideways and cannot be made to go forward. Some of you farmers know what I'm talking about. They have these cattle prods. Some of these cattle, they'll go sideways, they'll go backwards, but they won't go forward. And you have to prod them to get them to go forward. Israel is slided back as a backsliding heifer. That's the second meaning. To act like a refractory, untrackable heifer that turneth backwards or sideways and cannot be made to go forward. And this is what God said about the nation of Israel. Then there's the third meaning. Hosea chapter 11. And look with me, if you will. Verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt Him. Notice that. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Now, this means, the third meaning is it means an apostasy. Now, that's the Hebrew. Now, take your Bibles and turn to Jeremiah chapter 8 and look with me at verse 6. Jeremiah chapter 8. And look with me at verse 6 and verse 21. Listen to what it says. I hearkened and heard, but they spake not aright. No man repented him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? Everyone turneth to his course as the horse rusheth into battle. Then in verse 21, listen again. Hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Here is your backsliding. Notice it, if you will. No man repenteth him of his wickedness, saying, what have I done? That's a backslider. Now you can backslide in your heart without digressing one iota from attending the services of the church. Put it down. To backslide means to draw back. It means one who departs from God in the heart. That's backsliding. Now, the New Testament uses the word apostasy for backsliding many times. It also is used in Revelation chapter 2. We find that our Lord said to the church at Ephesus, you have left your first love. That means they backslid. And the word apostasy in the Greek means a departure from one place or thing to another. This is the word apostasy. This is also the word backsliding. Well, let me give you another meaning of the term backsliding, if I may. Backsliding is a God-dishonoring, Christ-rejecting, Spirit-grieving, law-trampling, and gospel-abusing sin. Now, you listening? Backsliding means to depart from the Word and ways of the Lord. It is a sin as common as it is terrible and is spoken of throughout the Scripture. Now, this. Another meaning is this. Backsliding can take place where there is outward truth, outward growth, and even outward spiritual privileges that the church in time past never had. And that applies right here to this church. We've had spiritual truth. We have spiritual growth. We've had spiritual privileges that this church in time past never had. Never had. And if you're so silly as to think that this church hasn't grown in the last 20 years or better, then I'm going to tell you right now, you're just as blind as you can ever be and you never will see. Everybody in this community remarked about the growth of this church. Talked with a man yesterday. And he said to me, he said, how long you been here? And I told him, he said, well, I remember when the church used to meet on East St. Clair, there wasn't hardly anybody coming. He said, I go by now, and he says, that parking lot is full of cars. And he said, sometimes they even got to park across the street. I said, that's right. Now remember, backsliding can take place where there was outward truth, outward growth, and even outward spiritual privileges that the church in time past never had. Now this is backsliding. Let's look at the methods that are used in backsliding for just a moment. And I want to say this to you right now. The devil is trying to get you to backslide. Our Lord said with regard to Israel, He said, my people are bent to backsliding. That's right. Every one of us here are bent to backsliding. That's part of our sinful nature. And just because the Lord saved you doesn't mean you can't backslide. That's all the more reason you can't. You see, backsliding is to depart from God in the heart. Now, if God's done in your heart, you can't depart from Him. You've already departed from Him. But if you're a true believer here today, rest assured of one thing. You can backslide by being right here at all the services of this church and still be a backslider in heart. It's a departure from God in the heart. Let's look at the methods that are used in backsliding. Revelation chapter 2, look with me if you will, verses 2, 3, and 4. Look at it. Here the Lord Jesus is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and you want to remember one thing. The seven stars in His right hand were the seven pastors of that church. The candlesticks were the church. And look at it, if you will. And we find very clearly the Lord Jesus said right here, He said in these words, I know thy works, thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. All right, that could be Elmont Baptist Church right here. You haven't had any heresy here in years. You know why? We won't allow it. We just won't allow it. Many here have labored. Many here have borne the trials, and many here have had to have patience. And we have borne, and for God's sake, we have labored, and we haven't backed down. All right, but our Lord says one thing. Look at that church at Ephesus again, verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, what's that mean? It means that the love you have toward Christ has become commonplace. It means that there's a quenching, a little bit, of the flame of love that's burning in your heart. You're not as excited about the Lord anymore as you used to be. Things are coming, become commonplace, and even His Word, when you read it, doesn't seem to have the thrill that it had to you when you first got saved. You know what's happening? You're losing your first love. You're leaving it. The Lord Jesus ought to be more vital, more real, and more precious to every one of us who've been saved for a number of years than He's ever been before. But what happens? We can backslide in heart. We can turn away from God in our heart without anybody even knowing about it but God. This is the method. We find there's a leaving of the first love one has toward Christ. Now look at verse 5. When that takes place, what happens? Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. You see, when you lose your first love for the Lord God of heaven, or we lose our first love for the Lord Jesus Christ, we have begun to drop. And as I've read from many a person, Many a Puritan has said these words, and it's worth having, and that is this, that if you're not going forward, you're going backward. There's no stagnation in the Christian life, and you better understand that. And the danger we face is this, that we can, and we are, a backsliding in our hearts. And one of the methods of backsliding is this. There's leaving the first love one has towards Christ. All right, but there's a second thing. What's the second one? There will be the lessening of the standards of separation. Now keep your finger on Revelation 2, go back to Hosea chapter 7. The book of Hosea chapter 7. And I want you to notice it. The book of Hosea chapter 7. Listen to what it says. Hosea chapter 7 and verse 8. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake, not turd. Now, what do we mean by Ephraim? Ephraim is another name for Israel. And Israel was a nation that God had loved, protected, given an inheritance to, watched over them, blessed them in every way that's possible, and we find very clearly, what did they do? They turned away. Ephraim is a cake, not turned. In other words, one side was done and one side was doughy. You ever have a cake like that? Sometimes if your oven thermostat isn't working right, it'll burn on one side and it'll be doughy on the other side. Well, Ephraim was like that. Backsliding. Now notice it. Ephraim has mixed himself among the people. Here you have the lessening of the standards of separation. Now you say, wait a minute. All right, a lot of you are falling in that category. Some of you here, you've quit coming on Wednesday night. Now, I'm going to show you how your lessening of your standards has taken place. Last Wednesday night, a group of us were back here praying back there that the Lord would settle this strike, and some of you GM workers weren't even here. Now, tell you what, there's been the lessening of the standards of separation. You're backsliding, my friend. You're backsliding. And you better understand it. And when there's a lessening of the standards of separation, alright, it involves four things. Number one, there will be the increase in worldliness. Increase in worldliness. I'm going to stop and ask every one of you a question here tonight. What have you got that's so important tonight that you can't be here at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8:30? Oh, you say now, Pastor, wait a minute, I got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Big deal. Big deal. You'll only get up at 3 o'clock in the morning if God allows you to. But I'll tell you why you're not here on Sunday night. You don't want to be. There's a lessening of your standard of separation. Some of you here, you've gone back to smoking again when you once quit. Some of you here, you're getting very careless in your dress and in your behavior, and you're going to places that you shouldn't be. And some of you here, you've quit reading God's Word. Now, I'll tell you what you're doing. You're backsliding in your heart. Oh, people don't know about it. God does. You see, God doesn't care about outward growth. He doesn't. God doesn't necessarily put the premium on outward truth. And God doesn't necessarily put a premium on some of the spiritual privileges that He gives us. What God wants to know is this. Where do we stand with Him in our heart? Now let's ask ourselves this question. Are we backsliding? You see, when we do, there's a lessening of the standards of separation. There'll be mingling with people, entertainment, places, and customs. Now let's soak in. The second thing will be this. Turn again to Revelation chapter 2. Look at it. I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and I will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Now, what do you have here? The indifference towards God and his truth. You say indifference? Yes. Indifference. Thou hast the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And later on it became a doctrine. And you know what that was? The deeds of the Nicolaitans became this. It became a religious hierarchy that the vast majority of our churches today are involved in, and it ultimately ended with the rise of the Pope. Now, if you didn't know this, I'm going to give you a truth. Peter was not the first Pope of the Catholic Church. He never was a Pope. Peter was never even in Rome. You better understand that. The Pope didn't come into existence until 300 and some A.D. after Christ. And it came as a result of the deeds of the Nicolaitans, whereby Nicholas, who was a deacon, he began to covet and desire a little more authority, and it concocted a religious hierarchy, and it eventually wound up in the Pope. And that's why you have today, you have the Pope, and you have bishops, and you have cardinals. And then you have priests, and you have the same thing all through Rome's children. And they're all going back into her fold, with the exception of one. Baptists never have been Protestants. That doesn't make us any better. It just makes us stand out a little different. But we find very clearly right here, there'll be an indifference towards God and his truth. Now, what do you mean? Well, sound doctrine is too difficult to learn. And I'm finding very interesting reading among some of my Sunday school class. Well, what are the things that you learn in the book of John? And one statement was, well, I didn't learn anything I already knew. Well, then I wasted my time teaching that book. But that's an indifference towards God's doctrine. You better understand it. You're backsliding in heart. This is what takes place. There's a leaving of the first love. There's a lessening of the standard of separation, resulting in an increase in worldliness. Some of you are getting involved in that. I know you are. And I don't need to talk to you. You know you are too. Now, why do you do it? Because you're backsliding in heart, my friend. And you better understand it. And then notice, there will be an indifference towards God and his truth. Now go back to Hosea chapter 11. And look at me again, if you will. The book of Hosea, chapter 11. And look with me at verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. Though they called them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Ask yourself this question. Are what you doing at this hour exalting the Lord Jesus Christ, or are you exalting yourself? You see, backsliding in heart, leaving the one's first love towards Christ, lessening of the standard of separation, resulting in an increase in worldliness, resulting also in an indifference towards God and his truth, and resulting, thirdly, in an ignorance of the truth. Now go back to Hosea chapter 4. And look with me at verse 6, and listen to what it says. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. All right, stop and ask ourselves this question. We've got a terrific bunch of teenagers in this church. We've got a terrific bunch of kids that have been coming to this church for years. For years. Many of them have come through the doors of this church and have gone right out into the world. Why? Is it because we've backslidden in heart? Now chew on that. Have you honestly, and are you still doing it? Are you still praying earnestly for your children? Do you rebuke them when you have to? Or do you let them do what they want to and you encourage them in things that are not right? All right, it's because you're backslidden in heart. What kind of standards have you got? We better ask ourselves this question. If the Lord Jesus Christ is number one in our lives, then we're backsliding. Now put it down. And believers will backslide. Now that doesn't mean you're not going to hate your children. So many people, they get so upset, they say, well, pastor doesn't like people. Well, my friend, that's not true, because Colonel Kaufman wrote a letter years ago. And I just saw the copy of it some time ago. And it's a letter that was astounding, because this man, who's been a policeman for years and years and years, made this statement when he wrote and recommended me for promotion. He said, I have never in my life seen a man who has such a rapport with teenagers as this man does. Don't tell me I don't love children. Teenagers love me. Young adults love me. The reason people don't love me is because I step on their toes and they don't like it and they're guilty. Therefore, they don't love this preacher. You're the ones that are wrong, my friend. Don't you sit down and try to blame this preacher for your fault. Had a call yesterday morning. Lady picked up the phone. She said, Reverend Ortiz, she said, do you have a way of persuading people? I said, I don't know. She said, well, I wish you'd come down and talk to my husband. And I did. And to my amazement, first time it happened, I've known the man for years, but to my amazement, the man was very friendly. And I sat down and had a talk with him. And I told him I'd be back to see him at least once a week. And he said, I hope you come. 5, 6, 7 years ago, I couldn't have gone across the street to talk to him. He wouldn't let me. Now, my friend, listen. We better face the reality, and there's this. If we're backsliding in heart, there's going to be an indifference towards God and His truth. And we better wake up if there is. Now, some people in this congregation, they smart every time I mention the word tithing. But we're not under law. Of course we're not. But that 10% of your gross income isn't yours. It's God's. And it's my responsibility as God's servant, I should say, to lay upon you your responsibility that you owe it to Him. And when you're smart about it, and some of you teach your children and have said these words, I'm not going to give him my hard-earned money to that preacher. This preacher doesn't get your hard-earned money, friend. God gets it. You better shape up, because you're backslidden or else you've never been saved in the first place. You've got your money. And you can be backslidden and hard over it. And this is exactly what the devil wants you to do. All right, there's not only indifference towards God and His truth, there's ignorance of it. It's the responsibility of every one of us as believers to know this book backwards and forwards. And this is one reason I threw it out to you this morning. I said, what was the last book of the Old Testament? It's not Revelation. It's Malachi. All right? We set forth here that, oh, we made a mistake. I grant we did. Let's not make it again. Let's learn God's Word. And you know, this preacher isn't always right, is he? We found that out this morning in my Sunday school class. I appreciate Miss Sotheby what she brought out. I slipped up on that. And Bonnie, the same thing. We all learn. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is. You need to be in my Sunday school class. You want to find out what it's all about. But now, what is it? All right. We should not be ignorant of the truth. This is the reason we have our young people learning the diabolical design of Satan as he seeks to brainwash the generation of our teenagers today and get them to worship him. And many of our parents don't even care. You're backslidden in heart, friend. Come on. Your children and mine are the most precious possession we have outside of Christ. You've got to warn these kids. You've got to teach them. But you can't do it if you remain ignorant. And don't remain willingly ignorant, all right? Then secondly, or thirdly, I should say, there's not only ignorance, there's indifference, there's ignorance, and then there's indolence. Now, what in the world is indolence? Well, turn to Job chapter 3, or Jude, I should say, verse 3 and 4. The book of Jude. Jude 3 and verse 4. Listen to it. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world are you talking about here? Ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness. In other words, the sky's the limit. You can do what you want to. Or as long as you know Christ, you can just live like the devil. Do what you want to. God doesn't make any difference. We're never under condemnation. It doesn't matter how we live. I don't find that in God's Word. I find that to be a heresy. I find that God demands on the part of us separation, sanctification, and struggle. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? All right, separation. That means that, would you like it if I walked in here and reeked like the high heaven of liquor? Would you come hear me preach? Of course you wouldn't. Of course you wouldn't. And I wouldn't expect you. Well, God expects the same thing out of you that He does out of me. I don't read any different standards for the preacher than for the members of the congregation. I don't read that. I read that we as godly people, we are to live godly and soberly and godly in this present world, looking for the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we have that hope in us, I'm going to tell you right now, God wants us to be purified. And we seek to purify ourselves. Now, many of us here, we still have a temper, all right? God's got to control that temper, doesn't He? Oh, don't get mad at me now, because I'm preaching to you. We're backslidden. Lack of faith. We can backslide in heart. And God knows it. And we find there will be the ignorance of the truth and an indolence. In other words, it just doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. I look out over my congregation and I see that last week there were three of the oldest men in my congregation that had to shovel the gravel and shovel the dirt, make the driveway look halfway pretty. Some of you young men, you're strong, and you get off early enough, but you don't bother to come. Let me tell you, you're indolent. Indolent. Tim Krause spent 3 hours out here yesterday afternoon. He drove up 25 miles from town. Some of you here within a stone's throw of this church, and you never darken the door of this church when there's work to be done. You know why? You're indolent. Oh, you work at your home. Oh, your house looks pretty. Your yard looks nice. Oh, I got to clean up my garden. Well, the Lord says, don't you take care for His house? Did you ever read the book of Malachi? You know why He didn't bless those people? They didn't build Him a house. Well, under God, we build Him a house. Now, under God, we've got to take care of it. And some folks come along and say, well, that's who we hired Charlie Orr for. Charlie Orr can't do it all. And he wasn't hired for that. This is your church, or is it? So many of you say, well, what are you going to do? And they always put it on my shoulders. Well, friend, I'm only one person here. I'm only one church member. Are you that backslidden in heart that it doesn't mean anything to you? We better hang our heads in shame. You see, backsliding is a departure in the heart from God. It's the leaving of first love. It's the lessening of the standards of separation. It's the ignorance of the truth. It's indolence with regard to contending or standing for the truth. Now that's backsliding. Now you see, you don't have to turn your back on the church to do it. You can backslide while you're sitting right here. Now you think on that. We can backslide right here. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm going to ask us a question this morning because it's been on my heart all week. When we come here today, do we come honestly to worship God? Or did we just come out of a habit? When you come back tonight, are you going to stay home? You going to stay home tonight because I got a headache? Well, bless your little soul. Now, I know some of you can't come at night. I know some of you can't drive at night because you're elderly. We understand that. I know we're getting into the place there, but there's a lot of you that can come. Some of you went driving all week. You'll drive all day to go visit relatives. Won't bother you a bit. We're backslidden in heart? No way. I hope not. Now let's go back to Revelation 2 again. Not only did we have the meaning, the methods, now let's look at the means that have to be used to return us from backsliding. Revelation chapter 2. Look at verse 5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. All right, there's three things what we need to do right here. Number one, remember. If we're backslidden in heart, all right, God's been dealing with our souls today, if we are. The Lord puts his finger upon us and we ask ourselves this question. All right, do we love the Lord as much or more than we did a year ago? If we don't, we're backslidden. Have we established a standard whereby we're going to methodically do these things, not out of the purpose, or I should say not out of law, but because we realize that this is the way God wants us to do it? And I'm going to tell you again, God wants you to study His Word. God wants you to give unto His cause. God wants you to assemble yourselves here. God wants you to witness. God wants you to tell other people. He wants you to pray. Now, all these things aren't going to save us. But bless your heart, when God gives us the grace and the ability to do them, it brings honor and glory to Him, and after all, that's all that counts. Because we're here on this earth to do three things. Number one, to know God. Number two, to enjoy Him. And then number three, we're here to glorify Him forever. And we'll tell you right now, we can't glorify God if we're backslidden in heart. Now, how are we going to overcome this? Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Now, notice it. God didn't leave us. We left Him. And then in verse 5, we read, remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. All right? When we backslide in heart, we go down. We drop down. We have fallen away. We haven't lost our salvation, but we've fallen away from God's best and God's enjoyment. Turn to Jeremiah chapter 2, if you will, and look at verses 2 and 3, where we read these words. Listen to it. Go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, I remember thee, the kindness of thy youth, the love of thine espousals, when thou wentest after me in the wilderness, in a land that was not sown. Israel was holiness unto the Lord, and the first fruits of his increase. All that devour him shall offend. Evil shall come upon them, saith the Lord. All right, God remembers the first desires that we had for him. And God also knows whether or not we have turned away and backslidden from him. in heart. Now we remember where we have fallen from, or from what we have fallen, I should say. Then secondly, the second thing we're to do is repent. Now what's that mean? Take the blame. Now some of you sit right here today and you're like an old pitchfork, you know, you just pitch it over your shoulder. Well, that doesn't apply. It does apply to everybody here. Nobody's accepted, including me. And when we repent, it means we take the blame. You ever repented? Oh, someone to walk out of here and say, I'm not going to hear that preacher. I'm going to some other church. Well, go ahead. Be an old church tramp. But that's all they are. And the church tramps are marked very clearly across the Word of God because Cain became the first one. When God called him, God named him and he said, a vagabond shalt thou be throughout the earth. And we have people today that go from this church to that church to this church to this church and so on and so forth. And they want to hear this truth and they want to hear that truth and they want to hear this truth over here and they don't hear the truth at all. They're vagabonds. And we'll tell you right now, it takes time to read it. You can learn about it, and I have a study full of books. They're reference books. But it's amazing how the Bible sheds light on some of those books. They don't shed light on the Bible. The Bible sheds light on those books. And the only way you and I are going to learn this book is we're going to read it. Family altar. You sit down with your children. At the close of the meal, you have them, you make them just sit down there and get quiet. Then you read a passage of the Word of God, and then do you bow your head and you pray for them? You name them by name? Your children ever hear you crying for their soul? Now, friend, if they don't, you better ask yourself this question. Do you really love them? Oh, you say, I know they're going to be saved. Do you? Do you? Chew on that. You don't know until they are. You may have God's hope. Maybe God has given you a hope that they will be. I'll tell you right now, that hope isn't fruition until it takes place. And one trick that Satan would have us do is say, well, you know, my kids are being raised in the church, and therefore, because I'm training them up in the way they're going to go, then I know they're going to be saved. That's a trick of the devil. Did you know Adolf Hitler had religious training? Did you know Mussolini had religious training? Did you know that Stalin had religious training? Did you know that Heinrich Himmler, who was the leader of the Gestapo, did you know at one time he studied for the ministry? He was a teacher! And they had religious training! And they wound up dead on a slab because of cyanide. Hold it, friend. You and I have got to labor before God and keep seeking the Lord. And I'm telling you right now, we need to start praying, Lord, if it's your will, send me to hell that my children will be saved. Well, you say, Pastor, why pray that way? Well, if the Lord sent you to hell and saved your six children, there'd be six people in heaven and only one in hell. Wouldn't that be better? Now we've got to repent and do the first works. And then let's look upon our souls of people around here. Not only in this church, but outside here. That are going to hell, they're perishing. You do this. You ask the Lord to open your neighbor's hearts this week so you get a chance to talk to him. You pray that prayer until he does. Or are you backslidden in heart? Now let me finish. If there's no repentance, there'll be repudiation. You say, what do you mean? Look again, if you will. Verse 5. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. That's repudiation will come from God if there's no repentance. Now chew on it. I don't want it to happen. I'm sure you don't. Secondly, we find that a return to the Lord is the first necessity for all of us. If you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to come to know Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, come what may, sink or swim, live or die, your hope ought to be, Lord, I want to know You. Will you lay it on the line before God? I hope you will. You better lay it on the line, my friend. The only hope you have is that the Lord Jesus Christ may save you. That's the only hope you have. Everything else will just fade into insignificance. Your job don't mean anything if you go to hell. Your home isn't going to carry you through eternity. Your bank accounts, your stocks and your bonds or whatever it is you have, your farms or your reputation or your education, isn't going to help you unless you know Christ. Well, I like so well what Darrell said this past week when he wrote me. He said, you know, when you have Christ, he says, you just got everything. And it's right. If you really want something today, you come to Christ. You have everything. And without Him, you have nothing. And last of all, turn back to Hosea 14. Here's a thing that just makes my heart weep and yet rejoice. And I'm so glad it's so. But in the book of Hosea, chapter 14, look with me at verses 1 through 4. Here is God's call for all of us who backslide. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord and say unto Him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. Asher shall not save us. We will not ride upon horses. Neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, ye are our gods. For in thee the fatherless find mercy. And look at verse 4. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from Him. You take that home with you today. God help us. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, thank You for allowing us to gather.